Well, I'm blessed today. I get to continue Dad's message on how to manage your emotions. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with anxiety today. How many have been hearing that word a lot lately? Anxiety. So today, title, if there's a subtitle under there, it's called The Answer for Anxiety, if you're taking notes. And I don't know about you, but it seems like lately, it seems like since 2020, maybe I was blind to it before then, but it seems like America is consumed with anxiety. I hear it everywhere. I hear it talked about everywhere. It's amazing because really we have the best of everything. God's blessed us, right, with the best technology in America. We are not a third world country, right? We've got convenience and fast food on every corner, right? I mean, we are blessed to live in the United States of America. But for some reason, we're still being crushed by fear and by worry. My wife, Tamara, she's over the children's ministry, and she'll tell you it's shocking, it's heartbreaking when you hear about some of the worries and some of the anxieties that these little kids have and they bring to church with, they're living with each and every day. I mean, Generation Z, I feel like it's a whole new level of anxiety. Have you seen this? Seems like more than ever before, I'll be on social media and I'll see these young influencers. They're talking about their mental health diagnosis. Some of them are actually putting it in their social media bio as some sort of, you know, like a badge of honor, that type of thing. Some of them, you know, they're even creating hashtags. I saw one that said, live, laugh, and Lexapro. Another one, hashtag Zoloft gang. And that's heartbreaking. Folks, how many of you know that's not God's plan for the young? That's not God's plan for the old. God said he did not give us a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiety, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. But it seems like the younger generation is just getting eaten up with this. 47% of Gen Z say that they often or always feel anxious, troubled, uneasy. 53% of Gen Z, think about this, half of all Gen Z, teenagers and those growing up right now, they say that they can't sleep at night due to their mental health. 84% of Gen Z, they say that there's a mental health crisis going on right now in America. And how many know that is not good? That leads to bad things. It leads to all kinds of physical problems, ulcers, heart problems, lack of sleep. It can lead to suicide. It's not God's best for us. It's not the way God planned for us to live. And today, instead of taking you to a physician's textbook or a medical textbook, I'm going to take you to the Bible. And we're going to see what God has to say about it. So here we go. So anxiety, if you're taking notes, anxiety, I believe it stems from our sense of control. It's when you and I, like Pastor's been saying, how many of you enjoyed Pastor's messages the last few weeks? Man, I've been every day telling myself to think about Jesus, think about eternity, right? And think about others, right? And it's been fixing my emotions. But anxiety stems from our sense of control. It's when you and I begin to meditate, we begin to focus on those things that we can't control. Have you noticed you get worked up? I don't know about you, but I'll be laying in bed at night, and I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'll start thinking about maybe something stupid I said a couple days ago, or maybe I'll be thinking about a confrontation, a hard conversation I got to have the next day, or maybe test, or maybe it goes deeper. I'll start worrying about my kids, and you know what begins to happen? My heart rate starts to go up. Anybody ever experienced that? And then my breathing gets hard for me to breathe, right? And then my mind starts racing. I start moving around to bed. I can't sleep. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a couple different ways that you and I can battle that. Would you like to hear it this morning? Let's go to the Word, Matthew 6. Now, I got a lot of scripture this morning, but there's some really good things that we can pull out to learn how to deal with anxiety. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Everyone doing okay? Stick with me. There's a lot of scripture, but we're going to pull some things out of here. So Jesus says here, he's going to spend about 12 verses talking about worry and anxiety. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look. Everyone say, look. Everyone say, look. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider. Everyone say, consider. Everyone say, consider. The lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O of little faith? Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be taken care of. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. There's four things that I believe Jesus gives us here, four principles on how you and I can better deal with anxiety. And the first one I want to pull out is those two little words we saw, look, everyone say look, and consider. Everyone say look, and consider. The first principle is this, change what you're looking at. Change what you're looking at. A lot of us, we feel like we have to control everything. And when we can't control everything, guess what? We get upset. We get anxious. And it seems like all of our media today, all of our social media, our news sites, our radio programs, it's all about getting us into this what if. Oh my goodness, what would happen if Russia and Ukraine go to war? We're in World War III. Oh my goodness, what are the Republicans going to do this week? Oh my goodness, what are the Democrats going to do this week? Oh no, there's a new virus coming. And how many know when we begin to look at those things, we begin to look at all the problems in the world, all the junk, we feed our mind, feed our spirit, our soul, our emotions, our will. Guess what? All it does is release unease. It releases dread. It releases anxiousness. And I can tell you that's not of God. That's not God's plan for your life. The other thing that it does when we're looking at the wrong things, social media, is we begin to compare ourselves to other people. And when you and I begin to compare ourselves to other people, guess what? It's first off, it's all fake. It's not true. You're only seeing the highlights of somebody else's life. But guess what? You begin to kind of look at yourself and get down on yourself. And man, shouldn't I be doing better? Anybody ever go through that? Just last Sunday, we had amazing services here at Church on the Rock, didn't we? Last Sunday was fantastic. I mean, Dad's sermon, I know I tell him this a lot, but I was like, man, Dad, that was one of the best sermons you've ever taught. And then, not only that, many people came to know the Lord after each service. And then we had our new people party. It was really great. How many got to go to that? It was all the visitors, all the people that have come to church in the last year, we had a special dinner just for them and got to hang out with them. There were so many encouraging stories, people excited about joining the church family. And I had a great day. I went home. I worked out. Everything was going great. I mean, it was fantastic. I was sitting on the couch. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord. And then I get a text. Yep, I get a text. The kids are in bed. I'm just sitting in the living room. I get a text, and the text says, hey, Daniel, did you see so-and-so? Man, they're really killing it. Didn't he go to school with you? Isn't he the same age as you? Oh, so then I took my phone out and began to look, and then I started creeping. Anybody ever do this? Then I started stalking this person online. I started looking at their Instagram. I started looking at their Facebook, and oh man, this guy's life is amazing. I mean, look what he's doing. He's so much further ahead than me. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? God, do you love me? Where am I missing? I gotta work harder. Look how much further this person is than me. I grabbed a sleeve of Oreos that my daughter left out there, just started. I started comparing myself. I started looking, and guess what happened? Anxious fed on that. It just grew. I sat there in the dark for a good 30 to 45 minutes looking at all that stuff. Change what you're looking at. That's one of the enemy's biggest devices, getting us looking at the wrong thing and get us off of seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen? Number two, Jesus brings out here, he says, you got to remember how much God values you. Remember how much God values you. Did you know that you're the crown jewel of God's creation? Did you know you're special, you're unique, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation? He has had a plan for you since the beginning of time. I don't care what anybody else says about you. God has an amazing plan for you, an amazing purpose for your life. And when you get your eyes off that God values you, that God cares for you, guess what? You begin to get anxious. He says there, look at the birds, look at the flowers. If he takes care of the birds and the flowers, isn't he going to take care of you? I love this verse, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, but if you read it in the Message, it's really good. It says, be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. I love this part. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. It may not look like nothing's happening, maybe look like everyone is passing you up, but remember to put your trust and your faith in how valuable you are to God. He hasn't forgotten you. He's working all things together for your good. There's no reason to be anxious. It's all going to work out. Number three, Jesus says, live in the present. Live in the present. This goes back to that control issue. He doesn't want us to live in our mistakes. He doesn't want us to live in our mess ups. How many like to live in your regret? I do. All the time. Well, if I only would have made this decision. If I only would have took that job, that position. If I only would have worked harder there. Guess what? When you live there, you're going to be anxious. You're going to feel dread. You're going to feel unease. You're going to be in conflict. It's going to be one of those nights, right, when your kids come home and like, why are you mad? It's because I've been thinking about all my mistakes. I've been thinking about what I could have, what I should have. Jesus wants us to live in the present. What can we do for his kingdom here and now? He doesn't want us to live in the fear of the future, the dread of what's coming. He wants us to live right here, right now. When you think about those two things, you're going to be anxious. Number four, he wants us to let go. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to put it in his hands. And so you might be sitting there and you say, Daniel, how can I do it? I don't even know where to start. How do I do those four things? Well, I'm going to show you from Philippians chapter 4 how the Apostle Paul taught us to do it. And once you hear the answer to anxiety, you're going to say, Daniel, that's easy. That's simple. In fact, that's what you preached on last time your dad had you preach on. But let's read this verse together in Philippians 4, verse 6 or 7. Just to set it up, again, Paul, right in the book of Philippians, he is in a Roman prison in between two guards, right? He's chained in between two guards, right? And he's waiting his execution, his martyrdom. Every day, can you imagine when he hears the executioner walk down the hall, he's wondering, are they grabbing me or are they grabbing the other guy? So if anybody had a fear of tomorrow or could have had anxiety, it would have been Paul, isn't that right? In fact, 2 years from writing this, scholars tell us that he was beheaded by the Emperor Nero. But look at this verse in the Passion Translation, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in, okay, we can, this is Church on the Rock. We can do better than that. Be saturated in throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace, everyone say peace, that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Now that verse is so good in the Passion Translation because right there, that simple little verse right there is the key to overcoming anxiety. How many believe God's word? Let's read it again. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Now he is about ready to die. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful, everyone say peace, that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The big idea, it's a simple idea, is this. Prayer is the answer to anxiety. On the count of three, can we say that together? One, two, three. Prayer is the answer to anxiety. What Paul's saying here is that God's receipt for prayer is overwhelming peace. Now think about it. When you go to Deer Bears, you go to Target, you buy something, what do they give you? They give you a receipt, right? It's the same way when you and I pray. The more that we pray, the receipt that God gives us, the more that we spend time in his presence, the more that we love on him, the more that we make time in that busy, chaotic day for him to find out what he wants for our life, the receipt that he gives us is overwhelming peace. Paul said, I'm completely at rest. I'm going to die. I'm completely at rest because I've saturated my life in prayer. and God has flooded my life with peace. Let's go on, Philippians 4. I love this chapter. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Again, he's in this same context of prayer, right? He's saying you have to direct your mind. Just what pastor's been saying the last two weeks. We have to fill our mind. We have the choice what we're going to dwell on, what we're going to think about, what we're going to pray about. Philippians 4, let's go ahead and jump on even to verse 11. Let's jump there, guys, if we can. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. That verse is amazing. One translation says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be independent of the circumstances. How'd that come? How could he be state just level through ups and downs? How could he not be anxious? How could he not have that feeling of dread, unease, chaos, mental torment? How? Through prayer. Through prayer. Remember, we're in the context of saturating his life with prayer. Isn't that right? So I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be rich or poor. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. What he's saying is I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm collected because I'm putting my full trust in the Lord in prayer. That's what you and I have to do. I want to read that verse one more time, Philippians 4, verse 6, in the message, the answer to anxiety right here. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, you don't sound very confident. Instead of worrying, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. Isn't that cool? Your petitions, your prayers shape that worry into prayer. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. How many need to be settled down today? It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So my question to you today is, do you bring your request to God? When you and I, we bring our request to God, right? We're taking the pressure off ourselves. We kind of release, we can drop that anxiety, that inability to fix the problem or figure it out, we give it to him. And so many of us, it's almost kind of a pride thing. I'm guilty of it. I like to bear the problem, strategize about the problem, get a self-help book about the problem, get myself a life coach for the problem. God, Jesus, they're saying, the answer is prayer, is me. It's getting alone with me, spending time with me. Think about this. When you talk about the armor of God, what does it say there in Ephesians 6, verse 18? The last piece of armor, it says, praying always. That's how you and I go to war with anxiety. Praying always. So today, real quickly, I want to give you just a couple types of prayer, a couple of different types of prayer that will help with anxiety. Sound good? A couple different types of prayer that you can lean on. Some of you, I'm sure you know this already, but others of you might not. The first one I want to hit on today, the first type of prayer for anxiety is contemplation. Contemplation. And what this means is this is a time in your prayer time where you calm yourself down, you get quiet, and you just focus on the Lord. Do I know how to quiet myself before the Lord? I think a lot of us, especially in charismatic circles, you know, we'll bring out like a huge prayer journal. We'll bring out like, you know, books on casting down strongholds, and that's awesome. And we come in there with a plan. But one type of prayer that can help is contemplation, getting quiet before the Lord. Psalms 130:31. David says this, and I love it. He addresses his pride at the beginning, and he says this. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. My eyes are not lofty. I don't concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Then listen to what he says in verse 2. He says, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. He's saying, just like a baby with a mother, I'm just at rest, Lord, that you're taking everything. You're taking care of everything. Don't got to worry about it. Don't got to be full of dread. I can take a deep breath. God's got it. It's going to be okay. Some of us, we need to rest in that fact, realize that he's near. Early in that chapter of Philippians 4, verse 5, he says, I am near you. God is near you. Realize that he's near and he's working all things together for our good. So the first way, contemplation, that's getting quiet before the Lord, taking deep breaths and just sitting there in silence, resting in him. Number two is meditation. Meditation. Did you know you and I, we can pray the Bible? We read the Bible, but did you know that you and I, we can whisper the Bible back to the Lord? There's something happens to my anxiety. There's something that happens with my fear when I begin to remind God of what he said to me. Because really, I'm not reminding him. I'm reminding me. Now, God says in Isaiah, right, 43, he says, put me in remembrance of my word. But he doesn't forget. We're the ones that forget. And there's something that happens when I look at all that pile of bills and I can't sleep, I'm sweating, and I begin to pray in my quiet time. God, you said, Philippians 4, verse 19, that you would supply all of my need according to your riches and glory. Something happens when I begin to pray. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. You're supplying all of my needs. You have it, God. It's under control. I don't got to worry about it. God, you're working it all out. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. You don't have what it takes maybe for the position. You say, Colossians 2, verse 10, God, you said that I'm complete in you, who is the head of all principality and power. God, I thank you that every place that I'm lacking in my personality, in my education, Holy Spirit, you're making up for it. You're taking care of it. And as I begin to meditate and pray God's word back to him, guess what? I have great peace. Peace comes. Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. The next one, number three, is request. We just talked about that, Philippians 4. Request. Bring your needs to God and ask him for help. It's amazing how many Christians today, they just don't do that. They just don't do that. They think they could take care of it all on their own. They carry that burden. They whine about it. They gripe about it. They complain about it. And God's saying, I'm here to help you. And let me tell you, when you make that request, guess what? Anxiety begins to leave. Fear begins to go. Number five, tongues. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that you and I, we pray mysteries when we use our prayer language. Did you know the Bible says that when you and I pray in tongues, that we're actually praying the perfect will of God? Do you have something in your life that you just don't know the answer for? You got no clue how God's going to fix it. In fact, you've gone to the Bible to try to find a verse regarding God's will in this situation. You can't find it. Guess what you need to do? You need to pray in tongues. The Bible says that we pray in the tongue of a man or an angel, and we're praying God's perfect will. As we begin to do that, let me tell you, 10 minutes, just do some 10-minute intervals, those of you who are struggling with anxiety this week, of praying in your prayer language. And watch the anxiety, watch the fear, watch all the worry go. Amen? The next one is a prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of thanksgiving. If you go to Psalm 77, and we don't have a lot of time to do that today, but Psalm 77, the psalmist says in verses 3 and 4, he says, I'm so distressed, I'm so anxious, I can't speak. I'm overwhelmed. God, I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss for words. It's taking my strength, taking my breath away. And he lays out all his problems. He lays out how he's feeling before the Lord. But then in verse 11 and verse 12, he says this, but I will remember. I will meditate, God, on what you've done for me. I will meditate. I will look back at all the ways that you've rescued me in the past. I will think back about all the good things, how you saved me, how you healed me, how you watched over my kids, how you protected me when I didn't even know about it. You protected me from car crashes, airplane wrecks, sicknesses that I didn't even know. I will remember. Everyone say, I will remember. Too many of us forget. We forget all that God's done for us. He watched over us in the past. He's going to watch over us today. So I just want to encourage you, when anxiety comes your way, remember these five different ways of prayer and begin to walk in it, begin to do it. And let me tell you, you'll see that worry, that anxiety go. A few years ago, and the team could come now, but a few years ago, actually it was around 2016, we took a family hiking trip to this place in the desert near Arizona. It's called the Mecca Wilderness. And at the Mecca Wilderness, is really beautiful. It's about 40 square miles of all these kind of rolling desert hills. There's like these kind of crevices and gullies and little canyons and that type of thing. And I was going to take our kids hiking. It was me, Dad, Steven, Tamara. And my littlest one, Lana, it was her first time hiking. She was 5 years old. Now, the hike was about 6 miles. I know I had high expectations. It was over 100 degrees in the desert. And I think we went pretty close to midday. I don't know what I was thinking. But they all had these little backpacks. Have you seen those little camelbacks? Our camelbacks, have you heard of those? They're like these kind of canteens you wear on your back. They fill them up with water. Sometimes runners have them. They got this big straw that comes around the front to keep you hydrated, you know. And so we were all excited, filled all the kids' camelbacks up. We've got our bottles of water. We're excited. All right, this is going to be Lana's first hiking trip. Right? Now, this little thing she's carrying is about probably 1 pound. And we literally get probably like 100 feet from the car, and she starts complaining. She's like, oh, Dad, this is so heavy. This bag is so heavy. I was like, okay, do you want me to carry it for you? No. It was like Gollum, my precious, you know, from Lord of the Rings. I said, okay, all right. So we walked another little ways, and she starts complaining. It's so hot. Ugh. She would just sit back, act like she was dying. We're not that far along. I mean, we haven't even gone a quarter of a mile, and she's griping. She's complaining. She's like, oh, this is terrible. This journey, you know, is just terrible. She's sweating. The other kids are getting annoyed because of how she's complaining. Again, I go to her, Lana, can I pick you up? Can I carry you? Your father loves you. Your father wants to help you with this burden. Your father wants to take you for it. Take it away from you. Help you. No, I got it. I got it. We continue on until finally she's exhausted. She's out of her head. She looks like she's been walking in the Sahara for 14 days. Her hair's crazy. She's sweating. Finally, she says, you know what, Dad? Would you carry it? In fact, Dad, would you carry me? And you know what I did? I picked her up and I threw her on my back. And not only did I carry her burden for her, I carried her. Not only did I take her trouble, not only did I take her anxiety, all that, I gave her the strength to make it the rest of the journey. I have some pictures I want to show you, because you can see she was having fun. She was just riding in style there. You can go to the next one there. We went down some little canyons and stuff like that. There she is on my back. So for the whole 6 miles, I carried her like a rucksack. But you know, that's what God is saying to you and I today. And a lot of us were being like Lana. Lana's going to be very mad that I used her as this illustration. But a lot of us are like, no, I got it. I can take care of this. I got it on my own. He's not only wanting to take your anxiety, take your worry, he's wanting to carry you as well. He's wanting to help you finish the journey. But so many of us, we got pride. Maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's just we think we can do a better job, or we want to get the answer from someplace else. God's saying, no, come to me. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can we bow our heads this morning? You might be here today and you might say, Daniel, I've heard you talk today. And you know what? I don't have that type of relationship with God. In fact, I do not have peace with God at this moment. I have been living a life away from him. I've been trying to do everything on my own. I've been trying to figure things out on my own. And kind of like Lana, I've kind of reached a breaking point. I realize I can't do it anymore. Daniel, I need to have a relationship with God as God the Father. I need to give him my burden. I need to give him my care. I need to give him my worries. I need to give my life fully to him. If that's you today, you've come in and you're not living for God right now. You've been away from him. Maybe you served him one time and you've fallen back. Or maybe you've never known him at all. But you say, today I want to enter into a personal relationship with him. Would you raise your hand in this room? I want to pray for you. Raise your hand high. Thank you. Hands going up. Thank you. Raise your hand high. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Hands going up. Now, if you raise your hand, we're going to pray this prayer all together. It's found in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And the Bible says that when you and I confess Jesus as Lord, Jesus comes into our life and he makes us a new creature, forgives us of all of our sins, and he gives us a purpose. So as a church, let's all say this together. Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you raised him from the dead on the third day. Now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my life, be my Lord, forgive me my sin, be my Savior. Today, I'm giving you my worries, my fear, my anxiety, and I'm putting my full trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church Narok is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church Narok, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church Narok, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.